Acts 13, we're going to begin in verse 23. So I'll give you just a moment or two to find that. Acts 13, beginning in verse 23. And I'm going to ask, once you found that, if you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read God's word this morning. Acts 13, beginning in verse 23. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised to Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, "Whom think you that I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is this word of salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written in him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled the same to us, their children, and that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, this day have I begotten you.' And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, 'I will give you the sure mercies of David.' Wherefore, he says also in another psalm, 'You shall not allow your Holy One to see corruption.' For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid to his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known to you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Let's bow our heads as we pray together. Lord God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we have to share and to spend together. And we just thank you for your goodness. And now, Lord, I just pray that you would help our hearts to be directed to you. Lord, I just pray that you would help our ears to be open, our minds to be open. And Lord, just speak to our hearts and help us to listen. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. So what we're reading here in the book of Acts is Paul sharing a message. He's sharing a sermon, what we would call a sermon. So here is the question that I want you to begin to think about. Do you have a sermon in you? Do you have a sermon in you? If I were to ask you right now, if you would come up here and share with the people, to share a message, what would you say? Would you panic? And you don't have to answer these questions out loud, but I want you to begin to think about it. If I said, all right now, and I called on your name and said, come up and just share with us for a few minutes. Share a sermon with us. What would go through your head? Because here's the thing. I believe that for every Christian, for every believer, we should have a sermon in us. And you think about what is a sermon? Let me ask you that. What is a sermon? We hear sermon and we think immediately, well, that's a pastor. He gets up in front of the church on Sunday morning and he gives a sermon. Now, that is true, but what really is a sermon? Okay, it's sharing a message. I heard that from many of you, and that is the first part. You got that right. It's sharing a message, and not just any message. What kind of a message? Okay, it's sharing a message about God, about something spiritual. Anything else that a sermon is?
It's actually testimony.
It's part testimony. Anything else?
Teaching.
It's teaching. Sharing. using something from God's word, something from God's message. That's what a sermon is. That's not complicated, is it? And yet sometimes we think, well, I should have a sermon in me. Oh, no. What would I say if I had to share? And that is what I want us to really think about. And we've already heard a sermon. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether Nate knows it or not, he delivered a sermon because he had a message, right? Right?
Yeah.
Had a spiritual meaning behind it.
Yeah.
Right? And he used things from the Bible. That is the definition of a sermon. And every one of us should have that within us. A sermon is not complicated. It is telling the story of Jesus. It's telling what God wants for us. And every one of us should have that in us. You know, in 1 Peter, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want. We don't have this scripture up there. 1 Peter 3:15, it says this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It says be ready to give a response, to give a message, to be able to share with someone when they ask about the hope that's in you. When they ask about what is the hope that's in us? Do we have that hope? What's the hope that's in us? We have salvation. We have that hope waiting for us, and we should have the joy that comes with that. When people see that and ask us about it, we should be ready to share a message with them, shouldn't we? Automatically. We shouldn't just think, oh no, I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know where to start. It's just telling the gospel message. And you know, we sing sometimes the song, and I wonder about that. We sing the song, I love to tell the story. You've all sung that, right? Here's the real question, and don't answer out loud. Do we love to tell the story? Have we even told the story? Or do we just like singing that we love to tell the story? There is a difference between the two, isn't it? If we can sing that with truth in our hearts, I love to tell the story, that means we are eager and ready to share the story of Jesus with other people. That's what it means to love to tell the story, isn't it?
Yes.
So I hope we can do more than sing that. I hope that we are ready and prepared. And what we read in Acts here is a sermon, is a message that Paul gave. And as he went through and as he shared, I think there's some things in here that we can truly learn from. He begins, look at verse 23, the first verse that we read. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised to Israel a Savior, Jesus. So what is the first thing that we can learn about giving a message to people, about giving a sermon to people, about being ready to share? What is the first thing we can learn just from this verse? Okay, there's God's promises. We can share that. Even more important, we find the whole plot, the whole central thing to what our message should be is in this verse, and it's one word, and I'll give you a hint. It's the last word. If you don't get it from that hint, I don't know what to tell you. He begins talking about Jesus. That, folks, is the whole plot of the message, of the story that we have to tell. It is all about Jesus. We can talk to people and share a lot of good things with them, a lot of good advice, a lot of good moral things, but if we never get to Jesus, guess what? You fell short in sharing the message, because that is the message. It's all about Jesus. And as Paul shares, that's some of the first things he shared, that it's about Jesus. And think, it mentions John the Baptist in this story. We can look at John the Baptist and his message for people. He said, John the Baptist's message was, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he mean by that? He meant Jesus is coming. When he said the kingdom of heaven was at hand, that's what his message was all about. All of his message was, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, Jesus is coming. So what was the central theme to his message? It was about Jesus. Jesus came. And you know what some of Jesus' first words of ministry were? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was Jesus saying? Not that Jesus is coming, but I'm here. So again, it's all about what? Jesus. Our message, our sermon should include the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean for us? Jesus is returning. Again, it's all about what? Jesus. The kingdom of heaven part is at hand, stays the same. But it's Jesus is coming, Jesus is here, and Jesus is going to return again. That should be the focus of our message. All about Jesus. And Paul made sure he started talking about the fact that it was about Jesus. Then look down at verse 26. As he continued to share, he says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is this word of salvation sent." He says, children of the stock of Abraham. Who is he talking about there? Jewish people. They were of the stock of the lineage of Abraham. So that's who he was talking to in particular. What was Paul? A Jew. Paul was Jewish. So as he was sharing with them, he was finding some common ground with them, some things that they could relate to. As we share with people, do you think that's important? To find some common ground that we can share? So what are some things that we can find in common with people that we should bring out when we share with them? Do we have anything in common with people?
We all sin.
Okay, we all sin. That is a good common ground to start with, right? To make people understand, I'm no better than you are. I'm not. I make mistakes. I fall short. It's not like I'm some kind of special person. We all sin. That is a great thing in common to share with people. What else? Anything else comes to your mind? We're all going to die. Might not want to lead with that one. But that is something we all have in common, isn't it? We can share with people, we are all in the same boat. We have a certain amount of time to spend on this earth. We have a beginning. When we draw our first breath, we had praises this morning about new babies that were born, and that is an amazing miracle of God. We all have that point. Just think, somebody shared a praise about you when you were born. What a blessing you were. You think about that? It's been a while ago for some of you, hasn't it? But somebody was happy about it. We draw that first breath. We have that in common. And unless Jesus comes back, what's the other thing we have in common? We will all draw a last breath at some point in time. Don't always like to think about it, but that is a commonality that we all have that we share with everyone. What else? We can all look around and see God's creation. Isn't that true? You know, Wendy was sharing this morning in Sunday school. She gets to be out in nature a lot, right, with kids, and to share with them just the amazing things around them. But we should all take note of that and look at the things that God has created. We can all have eyes that are open to that. I don't think there's very many people that would argue with you when you say, look, isn't nature amazing? Most people would agree with that, wouldn't they? That nature is amazing. Regardless of where you think it all originated, that is something that you can have in common. It's amazing, this creation that we live in. It is an amazing thing. Anything else we share in common? Aches and pains. The fact that we all have, and by aches and pains, that encompasses a lot. We all have struggles. We all have burdens that we bear at times. We all have challenges in our life. Would you agree that that's something all of us have in common? I mean, those come in different shapes, in different forms, but we all have them. So those are things as we talk with people that we can begin a basis of a relationship by sharing, hey, these are some things we have in common. And that we have to understand that we have these things in common because, you know what, God created each one of us, didn't he? You know, Dave mentioned God's creation. That includes us. The fact that God created all of us. And we can look clear back in the beginning and we understand. We've read Genesis, right? God created the earth and he created the heavens and all of it. And then what did he create to put in it? Man, he created Adam. But you know what? As God created Adam, you look and you read about Adam, and you know what Adam was able to do? It says that he talked with God. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't it? That Adam was able to walk through the garden and talk and converse with God, and that should help us have an understanding that we can share with people that we have been created, every one of us, to have a relationship with God. Do you believe that? We were created that way from the very beginning. We were created to have a relationship with God. And that is something that maybe it opens people's eyes. Because people understand that there are so many people out there that are looking for something, aren't they?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that? They're looking for something. And we can begin to share with them, do you know what they're looking for? They're looking for that relationship with God. That is what is missing. And that is what needs to be the number one priority and the number one relationship we have with it needs to be with God, because we were created to have a relationship with God. That needs to be in life our number one priority. Think about it. God created man and he had a relationship with him. That was the first relationship, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What was the second relationship? Because these are kind of, as they were created, that's kind of the order of priorities that they should be in. God created man, so there was that relationship. That needs to be number one. What's the second relationship that's recorded in the Bible? God created after Adam, Eve, so that Adam and Eve could have a relationship, right? You're following me, right? This isn't that difficult. God created Adam and Eve to have a relationship. That's the second relationship mentioned in the Bible that was created between a husband and wife. Guess what? On the priority list, our first relationship priority should be to God. If you're married, what should be your second priority relationship? To your spouse. So what was the third relationship that was created in the Bible? They had children, right? Well, it didn't always turn out well, but they had Cain and Abel. We know the story. They had children. Third relationship in the Bible. So what do you think after the relationship with God, after a relationship with our spouse, what's the next priority relationship? With our children. What came after that? What relationships? Well, all the rest of the relationships, right? They started having kids, and then you get friends, neighbors, all the rest fall into place. But it's interesting to me, I was just thinking about this week, as they were created, that's kind of the priority list that we should have. But as we share with people, help them to understand the greatest priority in that relationship scale is the relationship with God. If you don't have that, none of the rest of them are going to be as they really should be. That needs to be the basis. And these are things we all have in common. And then look on down. He begins to share the story, the gospel message. And again, folks, it is not difficult. Look in verse 28. It's not complicated. He's talking about Jesus, and he says, "And they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain." So what can we share? What is important from this verse that we share with people about Jesus? Yeah, he was without fault. That Jesus was innocent. That is important to explain to people, because guess what? None of the rest of us are innocent, are we? None of us. Again, that's that. We all make mistakes. We're all in the same boat. We all fall short, except for Jesus. Jesus was different. Jesus was innocent. This is kind of the whole gospel message in a nutshell, in just a few verses, because then look at verse 29. "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher." What's the next truth that we can share with people about Jesus in our message to them? He was perfect. He died and was buried, right? That's an important part of the message, not complicated, easy to understand. Look on in verse 30. I tell you, it's this in a nutshell. And then verse 30 is short, but important, isn't it? What's it say? But God raised him from the dead. So again, you're sharing people with Jesus. It's not hard. He was perfect. They killed him, and God raised him from the dead. And then there's evidence. Because so often we get to that point, and it's like, oh yeah, that's just not believable. I was with you up to that point, and at that point, it just got, the story got unbelievable. Because those kind of things don't really happen, right? But verse 31 provides evidence that it truly happened. And he was seen many days of them that came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. How many people saw that Jesus rose from the grave? Saw him after he had been crucified, put in a grave, and rose again. How many people saw him? It talks about 500 people seeing him. It talks about all the disciples seeing his presence. Lots and lots of people were witnesses to the fact. You know, legally, when someone's in a courtroom, especially in biblical times, you know how many it took to prove something? How many witnesses it took? Two or three. If you had two or three witnesses, it was indisputable. It happened. Witnesses are powerful even in our court system today, aren't they? You can believe, you know, you have this person says this, this person says this, their stories are different, but then you get what? An eyewitness. Someone who observed it. Who are you going to listen to? The eyewitness. What did you see? What really happened? Folks, there are 500 of these. Eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. So we can share that Jesus was perfect. He was killed and put on a cross and buried. He rose again. There's witnesses that it's fact. Those aren't hard things to share with people, are they?
No.
I mean, all of us in here are intelligent enough to understand those few verses, aren't we? It's not hard. That is the gospel message of what God, what Jesus did for us. But then Paul also makes sure that he shares the results of that. And this is also key that we understand when we share with people. Look at verse 38. So jump down a few verses. Be it known to you, therefore, in other words, you need to understand this part, men and brethren, that through this man, talking about Jesus, is preached to you the what? Forgiveness of sins. That is the gospel story, isn't it? Jesus died so that we could have this. He went through all the things we just talked about so that we could have this. Being forgiven. How important is that? And he helps explain it in the next verse. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. So all it takes is believing that these things are true, that God did this for us. And if we believe, we can be, what is that word it uses?
Saved.
That's a good word, but not the one it uses here. It starts with a J. Justified. That is an important word to share with people. What does it mean to be justified? Yeah, we know it's easy to understand. It's just as if it never happened. How many of us have made mistakes we wish we could take back? Raise your hand. If you've ever made a mistake you really wish you could take back. Jerry said he'd raise his feet, but he can't do that. That happens to us, doesn't it? Maybe it's an action that we did. Maybe it's words that we said. Maybe it's the way that we responded. Maybe it's a big thing, maybe it's a small thing, but we wish in our hearts, oh, I wish I could take that back. I wish I had the chance to do it over. Do we get that in life? Once it's done, it's done. You can't change it. You can't take it back. But here it says with our relationship with God, if we believe in Jesus Christ that he did things for us, it says we could be justified just as if it never happened. In God's eyes, we can have a, you know the word we like to use, a do-over. You ever hear kids use that? If you golf, there's a word for it too, Dave. Or Doug, what's a mulligan? A mulligan. You take a mulligan. What does that mean? I use them a lot in golf. A do-over. You hit the ball, it doesn't go where you want it. I'm taking a mulligan. I'm going to do it over. You're allowed 8 of those a hole, right? My rules, I think it's like 8 to 10 a hole. You know, we want that in life, but we realize it doesn't always work that way. But folks, this is the hope that we can share with people. When it comes to God, it does work that way. That we can make it just like all those mistakes that we've made in the past, all those sins we've had, they're gone. It's as if they never happened in God's eyes. That is truly what a fresh start is all about. And that is the hope that we have to share with people, that you can have a fresh start. And how many people in this world today are desperate for a fresh start? To start over. And I know there's... You know, I was sharing these very verses when I got to go with Carrie and the group to the juvenile detention center on Friday. And I was sharing these very verses with the one young man that I got to spend time with. And I told him, you know, you're obviously in here. You did something wrong. Do you wish you could do it over so that you weren't in here? Well, yeah, I really wish that. And I said, you know what? There's still consequences for that in man's eyes. I can't get you out of here. But in God's eyes, that can be erased. Like it never happened. It is just gone. Folks, that's the promises of God's word. That's the hope. That's the message that we have to share with people. It says that when we have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ through believing in Him, our sins are separated from us. We memorized these verses quite a long time ago. Our sins are separated from us as far as the east is from the west. There's another verse that says that the writing of our transgressions or our sins are blotted out. Means they're gone. Can't be read. That's the hope we have to share with people. When I ask you, do you have a message? You should say, yes. I can share about Jesus, that He was perfect, that He came to this earth. He was the Son of God. He was perfect. He died. He rose again for us. And if we believe in Him, if you put your trust in Him, you can be forgiven and made right in God's eyes. And that relationship with God that you were created to have can be restored. Is that a message of hope?
Yes.
That is the message we have to share with the world. We can sing, "I love to tell the story," but if we never tell the story, those words really aren't true that we're singing. Because if you love to do something, what happens? You do it. Think of things you love to do. And I can say, oh, we're busy. I'm busy. The things you really love to do, do you find time for them?
Yeah.
If they're really things you love to do?
Yeah.
I know in my life, there are times that I get really busy. But if there's something I really love, guess what? Somehow I find time. Somehow. If we really love to tell the story, we should be able to find time for it. To share with people the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. If nothing else, share this chapter with them. Share just the verses we shared this morning. It contains everything they need to know. Jesus is the Son of God. He came, He died, He rose again for us. That if we believe in Him, we can find forgiveness. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? It's great that you know it. Now what do you have to do?
Share it.
That's your message. That's your sermon. If anybody ever asks you, do you have a sermon to share? Your answer should be
yes.
Yes, I do.
Live it out.
Live it. Just comes down to that. And realize we live in a world that desperately needs you to share that message. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You again for this day that You've given us. We thank You for these words that Paul shared, this message, this sermon that he had. And I pray, Lord, that our sermon is the same, that we are anxious to share about Jesus and the hope that He can bring, the fresh start, the forgiveness, the relationship that can be restored with God, the one that we were intended to have from the beginning, that is missing in so many people's lives. We have the key to help those people have that relationship restored. But it won't happen if it's not shared with them from somebody. Lord, help us to be those somebodies, to share this message of hope. I pray, Lord, that You just give us that boldness and that desire. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning as we close, the altar's open. It always is. If you have a need, come and pray. You want me to pray with you? I'd love to, but the altar is open. Whatever's on your heart this morning. All right, we've sung it, now we got to live it. So remember that as you leave this morning, that you're leaving with a message that needs shared with the world around us. Let's bow our heads as we close in prayer. Lord God, thank you again for this morning, and I pray as we leave this place that we would understand with all of our hearts that we have a message that needs to be shared, a message that the world needs to hear about Jesus Christ, about his love, the gospel message, that Jesus is going to return, and we need to be ready. We need to have that forgiveness in our hearts that comes only through knowing Jesus. So, Lord, help us to share that message with the world. Bless us. Give us boldness to do that. In his name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.